As we go on our praise and worship time, it says, praise the Lord. The psalmist said, praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song and His praise in the assembly of the saints. That's where we're at this morning. Let Israel rejoice in their Maker. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their King. Let them praise His name with the dance. Let them sing praises to Him with the timbrel and harp. For the Lord takes pleasure in His people, and He will beautify the humble with salvation. What a good word for all of us. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud on their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth. That should be us, right? That's, we are a peculiar people. We give God praise in the weirdest times. And two-edged sword in their hand, that's us, who execute vengeance on the nations and punishments on His peoples, to bind the kings with chains and their nobles with fetters and iron. We're going to come back with the Lord someday soon. When we go up, we're going to come back after the tribulation. And we're going to be with Him to implement justice. We're going to be part of His army. I'm glad to be a part of God's army. I'm glad righteousness reigns, aren't you? I know the world's upside down, but I know who's in charge. And He said that all of this was going to go this way. He told us. Everything we're watching unfold, He told us it was going to happen. So we should look up, because He said our redemption is drawing nigh. Say it with me. Some trust in chariots and horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord. Give Him praise this morning. Tell Him how much He means to you this morning. Sometimes we forget to tell Jesus just how much He means to us. How grateful you are. We're so grateful, Lord, that you've not left us to ourselves. We think we do a lot, Lord, but we couldn't draw one more breath without you. We couldn't have an open door or anything. Lord, we thank you. We worship you. We come into your presence this morning with thanksgiving in our hearts. We praise you, Lord. We are such a blessed people in this land, in this area, in this body, in this ministry. We're such a blessed people. You've been so kind, so good, so long-suffering. We don't make things happen, Lord, you do. We want to recognize that this morning, that every good and perfect gift has come from your hand. We're the ones that make the messes, and you're the one that cleans it up. You give us beauty for ashes, glory for despair, dancing for mourning. We celebrate you because you're the difference in our lives. And everybody said, amen. Turn around and tell somebody happy they're here today. Children's church is going to stay over here with me. Everybody just stay with me except the nursery. The nursery's open, but everybody else is going to stay with me. Have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Go ahead and shoot that model up here. I'm going to show you this a little bit before we get into the scripture. I'm going to spend all my time this morning probably in the New Testament. Let's go in 1 Thessalonians 5. We'll pick up there in just a moment. But this is the prayer journey that I've developed over years, and I don't know that I've saw that anywhere as a prayer journey, but just over time studying for the last 25 years and come to this spot. And you see the gate there on the right side, both segments, and then you come in the gates with thanksgiving. Now, I've spent a lot of time over this over the years, and most of you have a copy with this. We're going to come back to that thanksgiving, but I want to show you a couple other things. This is a model of how we should approach God, how we should spend time with Him in our prayer lives, as a corporate body, all of that. So we come in with thanksgiving. And a lot of times, you know, I'll just ask people to shout out things that they're thankful for before we start. And that's not a bad practice, because we need to be thankful. And we're going to talk about that more extensively after I go over a few things. But a lot of people's prayer life, they would skip all that. They would run right back to the prayer petition, because they basically think prayer is just telling God what they think ought to be done. and asking God to do a few things. And if they're brazen enough, they'll tell God when to do it. But you see how much don't go on if that's all you know about prayer, is you just run in to the prayer where the altar of incense is at right before you go behind the veil. Now, I want to remind you, that veil's been rent, and it was rent by God himself when Jesus took our place on the cross. The Bible also tells us that we're kings and priests, so you have access to all of this in the realm of the Spirit. So you need to take advantage of it. I need to take advantage. Certainly, we come in his gates with thanksgiving. We're going to praise. We're going to do any repenting we need to do if we've blown it this week or whatever, or today, whatever. Sanctify, you wash yourself, you just speak God's word over yourself. Then you go to the communion, the table of showbread, where we have fellowship with God. I just call that having a cup of coffee with God. Then the Holy Spirit is represented by the menorah, and he illuminates your journey. See, because if you run into the altar of incense without taking time for God to work some things in and out of you, you're probably going to do what James said. You're going to pray amiss. You're going to pray according to your own will instead of praying according to God's will. And the God will take that journey, and then you'll be able to pray according to his will as you make your petitions, because petitions are important. I have petitions for God regularly. And so as you come into that, but you want to take this journey. Let me tell you something else that's going on with this tabernacle. Is churches get hung up here. I can take you to some Pentecostal churches that never get out of the courtyard. That's all they do. They high praise, they can't ever get. I can take some Baptist churches that skip that part and go into, and a lot of different churches that go into the middle section. And then I can take you to most churches that never get behind the veil. Most churches never get behind the veil. I can take you to churches where they can swing from the chandeliers and everything and have the biggest time of all, have a big praise time, but they never get past that laver. They're stuck. Because they don't see the value of being still before God. Now, if you read the Psalms, all of these are in it. There's high praise. We should do high praise. There's that intermediate section there where we're talking with God. We're having fellowship with God. Communion. And then there's that place where you go behind the veil and you shut up, I shut up, and we wait on God. And that's how your prayer life should be. If you're the only one talking in your prayer life, you're messing up. If your prayer life, if you're the only one doing the talking, you're messing up. You need to go through these steps with God. This is how God laid it out for us. And you get behind that veil and be quiet and let him speak to you. He may have something to say to us. I'm going to say to you, he always has something to say to us because we're crazy. We're human. We're like sheep, right? We'll get in a rut and stay in it. So a lot of churches struggle here. They can't utilize all three chambers of the tabernacle because they're just stuck. And so you want to experience God in every facet. He laid this out for a reason. So there is a time for us to shout like they did around the walls of Jericho, but there's also a time for us to be still and know that he is God. All that's part of the scripture. So churches are stuck in these ruts just like people are, because they can't see the different facets of what God is wanting to show them and do in their lives. Now, I want to come back to the front of this. The east gate's there represented, and you see that we come in his gates with thanksgiving. This, one of the things that God got the most of, that ticked God off the most about Israel is this, is that they were full of complaining. That really messed with God. If you're complaining, you're not giving thanks. You're doing just the opposite of that. And we can all fall into that. Don't have any stones to throw at anybody. But complaining takes the place of giving thanks. I've been doing some research on what giving thanks and being grateful does to your mind, to your body, to your health. It affects every bit of it. Being thankful and grateful and expressing that to others and certainly to God affects your whole being. Wonder if God knew that. And so we're told, I'm going to show you a few things here that will may straighten you out. Tell your neighbor, say, he's getting ready to straighten you out. All right, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. Rejoice always. When? When the economy's bad? When the news is bad? When it's raining? always. Pray without ceasing. Well, how do you do that? You do it. I'm ready to pray at any minute. I don't care if it's Walmart, wherever, outside mowing the grass. I pray a lot on my lawnmower. Whatever. Be ready. Be instant. Be ready to pray at any moment with someone, for yourself, about a situation. Intercession. Pray. Have an attitude of prayer. And in everything, he didn't have to put that in there. He could have just said most things. In everything, give thanks. Now, I've been doing this for a long time. And I can tell you that some of the most thankful people I know in 40-some, almost 35 years of ministry, and even growing up as a Christian, some of the most thankful people I know are the people who have the least. And some of the complaining people are the ones that have a lot, but they can't get enough. Come on now, he's preaching. If y'all don't start amen, I'm going to take up two offerings today. We all ought to be thankful. Doesn't matter if we have a lot or a little. We should all be thankful, because Paul told us that every good and perfect gift comes from God. So here's what we're told to do. Listen to what he says at the end of this. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now, we could quit and go home right there. If you're complaining, you're not doing this. If I'm complaining, I'm not doing this. It's not God's will for me to complain. It doesn't do anything. It's like fear. Fear only causes harm, Psalm 37 says. It only causes harm. Fear don't do anything good. It may make you look spiritual to people who are not spiritual, but it don't do any good. And I've told you this for the last, anybody's been around me the last 10 years. You can come with me, I'll pray with you, I'll rejoice with you, I'll give thanks with you, but I ain't worrying with you. I didn't tell my own wife that. I'm not going to worry with you. We're going to do this thing the way God told us to do it, but fear only causes harm. Now, I've done some research on that, what fear does to the body and the mind and the health and all that. It's the direct opposite of what giving thanks does. So we should get up every morning and give God thanks. We should start our day. When we do that, we're getting in the gate with God. We're getting ready to experience Him in our lives that day. So he says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. That's God's will for all of us, for us to rejoice always, to be ready to pray all the time, and to give thanks. If you're going to do that, you're not going to have time for all this foolishness that the devil wants to saddle you with. Now let's go to Romans chapter 1. I'm going to show you the contrast of that. Let me show you the contrast in Romans chapter 1. And this is, I'm going to read you a few verses here. He enumerates a lot of sin here. That's not what I'm going to do this morning. I just want to show you what causes all of that to come to a head. In verse, Romans 1 verse 18. Romans 1 verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. Now this, we got that prophecy last year in September that said America was in trouble and said the whole world was getting ready to meet its maker. I want you, in context of that, I want you to listen to what he says here, because I'm going to come back. This is what's going on in our country right now. He says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Now, I heard a big wig, that's what we used to call him, a big wig just about 2 weeks ago with my own ears stand and proclaim that we got to get this, do away with people getting their information from churches and pulpits. That's said in this country. A big wig politically said that in this country. Another politician said this last year, the will of God is of no concern to our Congress. And boy, did he say that right. That's where we're at in this country. Now watch what happens here. Who suppress the truth and are unrighteous because that what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. They're without an excuse. Every single one of us are without an excuse. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Every one of us in this country especially are without excuses. We've got Gideon Bibles everywhere. We got preachers and teachers on television, radio, the internet. We got churches almost on every corner, though they're going under fast. And we've got God's Word posted in certain places. They've taken it down in some places, but we've still got God's Word. We're without excuse. Listen to what it says. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God. And we've let every kind of God in the world come into this country now. Nor were thankful. They weren't thankful. Listen to what happens to people who refuse God to recognize Him and refused and continue to be unthankful. But they became futile in their thoughts. Does that not sound like our country? When you don't know which bathroom to go in, you're in a crazy place. Futile thinking. And their thoughts and their foolish hearts were darkened. That's exactly what's went on in this country. Professing to be wise, we think we're the most educated people in the world. Professing to be wise, they became fools. And it hinged on disregarding God and being unthankful. That's what it hinged on. Now we've got people all over this country and all over the world, but I'm talking to our country this morning because I'm live here in this nation this morning. And maybe places in the world. I thought Keith said guitar, but it was Qatar we went in this week. So welcome to you guys, not guitar. But wherever you're at, listen, we've come to a place where we just disregard God. We play by our own rules. We suppress the truth and unrighteousness. We've made everything okay, and anything to do with God, we want out of our sight. That's the kind of world we live in. And now we profess to be wise, but we became fools. And you know as well as I do, it doesn't matter what side of the aisle you walk on. There are people, men and women on both sides of the aisle that take credit for everything. They don't give God credit for nothing. They stand up and say things like, we feed the people, we do this, we do that. I'm telling you, God gets moved by that. He is tired of the complaining and the disregarding of Him. Amen. And it shouldn't come from us Christians. We should be the most thankful people in the world. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 13. I want to show you a few things going through here about what we need to be, how we need to conduct ourselves and be thankful. In Hebrews chapter 13, let's pick up with verse 8. Here's just something that we should always be thankful for. We should live our lives because we have access. Think about it. You and I have access to God. You may be somewhere covered up with back in a coal mine where the coal mines fell in, or you may be out on some island by yourself, but you still have access to God. It doesn't matter where you're at. David said this well in Psalms. He said, if I take my bed and make it in hell, if I am in the depths of the sea, wherever I'm at, God is there with me. That is beautiful for a Christian to understand that you have access to God at any moment, any place, any time. And verse 8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That means what you see about Jesus in Genesis 1 is the same thing in Matthew 1, Revelation 1, and today. He's the same God. He's full of power. He's full of love, mercy. He's righteous. He can't do any wrong. He does judge that which is wicked. But that's the way He's always been. He started out the same. He's the same as He started out. God's the same. Jesus is the same. And that's good news for us, because we don't have to worry about where God's standing on a particular issue. Men change all the time, and women change all the time, different issues. They change their mind about where they're going to stand morally or anything like that. God He's never changed on that. He's the same as He was in Genesis 1. He's the same today as He is today. So He says He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that's not bad news, that's good news. Because we don't have to find out where God's standing or what He's doing. Do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines, for it is good that the heart be established by grace, not with foods which have not profited those who have been occupied with them. We have an altar. Everybody say that with me. We have an altar. The thing I just showed you, the tabernacle. And he talks about that. From which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. You know what the Jews did? They did the same thing the church is doing today. They got stuck in the tabernacle. They didn't realize the tabernacle was about Jesus. They didn't realize it was about relationship. They thought it was about pomp and circumstance and the order of the service. Phooey on the order of the service. You and I need to get with God and be His sons and His daughters. That's what we need. And every group that they pride themselves in one particular thing. We don't want to fall into that in this church. We don't want to pride ourselves in one particular thing. We want to be people who love God with all of our heart, that put His Word in front of everything, including our families. We take God's Word above everything. We want to be praisers, but we also want to be worshipers. We want to learn how to get behind the veil so God can straighten us out. And God knows He needs to do that from time to time. He needs to straighten all of us out. But we don't take time, because we run in and tell Him what we think and shout a little bit and run back out on Him. He's like, we don't even give Him time to talk. And He says, we have an altar in which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. The bodies of the animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned outside the camp. Therefore, Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people with His own blood, suffered outside the gate. Therefore, let us go forth to Him outside the camp, bearing His reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. Don't put your life in this life. Put your life in the next life. That's where our stock, that's where we live. Therefore, by Him let us continually, here it is again, continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. There ought to be a day go by that we don't praise and give thanks. Not a day. I'm talking to everybody that's listening to me around this world that gets this podcast. There shouldn't be one day, people in this building, not one day that we don't give thanks and give praise to God. Not one day should pass that we don't do that. And this particular scripture leads us down to that last verse I wanted to share with you. But it's all about access. It's all about access. In Acts 16 and 16, Paul and Silas are thrown in the jail. And they're thrown in the jail, and it looks like they have no access. They're thrown in the maritime dungeon. It's called the inner prison in your Bible. That's where raw sewage ran openly, where rats grew big as cats. These guys were locked in stocks, and the Bible says at midnight, they began to sing praises, because it didn't matter how much they were locked up. It didn't matter how deep the dungeon was. It didn't matter that sewage ran down there. It didn't matter that rats were big as cats down there. It didn't matter that they had open wounds on them. They still had access to God. And that's something to give thanks for. I don't know what they said in that cell, but I know that most of the time they used the Psalms, because that was their way of praising and worshiping God. I don't know what they used, but they may have used Psalm 146 or 147, 148, 149 like I used this morning, or 150. They may have used them all. Psalm 146 starts by saying, praise the Lord. It ends by saying, praise the Lord. Psalm 147 starts by saying, praise the Lord. It ends by saying, praise the Lord. Psalm 148 says, praise the Lord. It ends, praise the Lord. Psalm 149 says, praise the Lord. It ends, praise the Lord. Psalm 150 says, praise the Lord. And it ends, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. I don't know what they sung, but it left that jail cell and it went up and caught the ear of God, and they gave thanks and He brought them out alive. You have access. I don't care if you're in the middle of a pond in a car that's sinking. You have access to God. I don't care if you're in the middle of war in Vietnam. Some of you know this. Or World War II or any other war. You have access to God. God is on our side. And He promised us He'd never leave us nor forsake us. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. I'm talking about giving thanks and praise. These boys, didn't matter their circumstances, they still gave God praise. Now, how many people you think would have been in that maritime dungeon down there where the sewage was running raw, complaining the whole time? Most. Most people would have. The Bible says God inhabits the praises of His people. You've heard me say this many times. He sits His throne right down in the middle. If you're in trouble, you need God to show up with His throne. But He ain't showing up if you and I are going to complain. That's not how He shows up. That when do we give thanks? Always. When do we rejoice? Always. In everything, give thanks. So it doesn't matter when we're at the worst, it's when we need to praise the most. But that's when the flesh don't want to do it. The flesh don't want to praise when we're at our worst. We want to grumble and complain and call our lawyer. And mom and dad and everybody else we can call. But we should praise Him, because nobody can do me like Jesus. Nobody's got a throne like Jesus. Nobody's in charge like Jesus. Nobody can bust you out of jail like Jesus can. 1 Corinthians 15, let's look at verse 50. That turkey's making me excited. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom. Here's our dilemma. I showed you the access, but here's our dilemma. The flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. Now, Jesus just alluded to the rapture in Luke 21. Paul's going to unfold it for us. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. Not everybody's going to die. But we shall be changed. So the Lord nullifies all that. The Lord, if He returns, some of us are going to be alive and remain. I think it's close enough where we could all be alive. That's how close I think it is. We're living in the last days. We're not headed toward the last days. We're living in them. And He said, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, I heard a spouse say, amen. No, I'm just kidding. That might have been my wife. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. This is our dilemma, and He's going to give us a way out. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For the corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So then this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass the saying which is written, death is swallowed up in victory. The Nike. O death, where is your sting? O grave or Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks, everybody say thanks. Thanks be to God who gives us the Nike or the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody give Him praise this morning. He's worthy. I tell you, we ought to be the happiest people on earth. Even when we get bad news, we ought to say, I know a way out. We ought to be able to share that with other people. We know a way out. We got some bad news, but we know a way out. To live is Christ, to die is gain. We can't lose anyhow. There's no way to lose if you're following and trusting in Jesus Christ. But I'm going to tell you, I'm thankful for God's Word, aren't you? Amen. I'm thankful that the Word will stand. When the world's gone, the Word will still be standing. I'm thankful for Jesus Christ. I'm thankful for His work on the cross. I'm thankful for His comfort and everything He did as an example for me. And I'm thankful for the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, because He speaks to me, He guides me and leads me in paths of righteousness for the name sake of the Father, and He gives us insight. He is a protector. He is a revealer. He's a healer. I'm thankful for the Holy Spirit. I tell you what else I'm thankful for. I'm thankful that I have victory over death. Aren't you glad about that? I'm thankful that I got victory over Satan. That greater is He that's inside of me than he that's in the world. I tell you something else I'm thankful. I'm thankful that I've got power over sin. I tell you what else I'm thankful. I'm thankful that I've been delivered from the world and I got victory over the world. You know what else I'm thankful for? I'm thankful for a bunch of people that have joined Basilea Ministries and all these churches and things that God's doing that stand with the Word of God no matter what comes their way. I'm thankful for you all that'll stand for God's Word. And you know what you ought to be thankful for? You ought to be thankful that you got a preacher that's not for sale to this world. We got plenty to be thankful for. I take time every week to thank God for some of my shoes. And the older I get, you bet I do that. I thank God for food on my table. I thank God for transportation. I thank Him for clothes. I get right down to the little bitty things thanking God. I want Him to know that I know who's in charge. I want Him to know that I know where my help comes from. I want Him to hear my thanks coming off my lips. I want Him to hear it every single day. And I want to get to the place where I replace all my complaining with thanksgiving. I want to make the devil as mad as I can make him. And I want to have the victory of God working in my life, in my wife, in my children, in the church, and everywhere else. I know God's in charge, and I want to act like He's in charge. Can you say amen? Let's go to Psalm 100. I'm taking the Old Testament real quick as we close. You can put that... Let me read most of this, and you just put that tabernacle back up there. This tabernacle, you need to make this a part of your life. Not because I created it. That stuff was all created. I just thank the Holy Spirit for revealing this stuff to me. But you need to take this model and make it a part of your life. For those of you who say, I can't pray more than 5 minutes, do this, you will. Some of you get hung up or repenting for 15 if you ain't careful. Ask me how I know. I've done that. But you give thanks. And just be like a child. The Bible says if we're going to receive the kingdom, we're going to have to be like little children. I still am like a little child when I pray. Give thanks. Then praise Him. Praise Him for what He's done in your life. But I go back and I find things in the Scriptures to praise Him for. I praise Him for making the axe head float. I praise Him for parting the Red Sea. I praise Him for taking that stone and dropping Goliath right into where He stood. You know what that does to me? It builds my confidence up that God's going to take care of me. That He's going to show up for me. And then go over there and repent if you need to do repenting. And then wash yourself. Speak some word over you. Quote the word over your life. And then go have a cup of coffee with God. I love having a cup of coffee with God because I'm real. I tell Him just exactly how I feel. I let it all hang out. Good, bad, ugly, and what little bit of pretty there is. I just let it all. Listen. You need to be real with God. He already knows everything. The reason we get real with God is to release things. When God came in the garden and said, Cain, where's Abel? Do you think He knew where Abel was at? Sure He did. He didn't need to know where Abel was at because later we know He said that the blood's crying out from the earth. What He was doing was giving Cain a chance to come clean, wasn't He? And Cain threw a defense up, right? Oh, my brother's keeper. Well, yeah, you are. And so he kind of backs off. God's not looking for an answer when He asks a question. Just be real with Him. God's already read your mail before you read it. God knows what 10% of $100 is. He knows all that. He knows everything. So just be real with Him. And then let the Holy Spirit take your journey. See what's happened for you to start asking, making your request known? A lot of stuff's went on. If you didn't get that altar of repentance right, that stuff would nag you back there trying to make requests. It would affect your faith. Come on now. If we're not right with God, it affects our faith. Let's be real. Let's all be real. If you've got problems between you and God, it affects your faith. This is a beautiful way to take care of that. You see how God designed this? He wants you behind that veil. But He wants you clean. And ready to speak with Him and wait on Him. And so you're going to miss a lot if you don't take this journey. Then the Holy Spirit illuminates that. That way we can pray according to His will and not mine. And I've used this example a lot. Forgive me for using it again. But before I learned this, I would pray in my request. And I would when the Lord started teaching me this, I was praying for some people that I love dearly. And I prayed, Lord, just one of those Pharisaic prayers, like, Lord, bless them. You know, and it's like I run into a wall and the Lord said, bless them. I have blessed them. You need to pray that I'll break them. Now, that's a hard prayer to pray if it's somebody you love. You wouldn't pray that if you run in the flesh. But if you wait on the Lord and He gets your spirit and your mind and your soulless realm in union with the Holy Spirit, then you can pray. Now, listen, if God breaks somebody, you know what His intention is? Salvation. It's all. Don't hand something off to God and worry about it. He has all of our best interests in mind. He proved that by nailing His own Son to a tree. And then you want to get behind the veil. So let's look at Psalm 100 and then I'm going to close. In Psalm 100, there's an outline. It says, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. We should. That's how you should come into His presence. Ready. Excited, high on the Lord. Then he says, serve the Lord with gladness, come before His presence with singing. Pick it up. You know what? I've noticed when people are happy, people that can't sing a lick still sing. You ever been to a ball game where they want to sing a song at a ball game? And these people beside you can't sing a lick, but they sing to the top of their lungs. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us and not we ourselves. Again, God wants us to understand who's in charge. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. So basically, you don't even get inside without giving thanks. How important is that? Enter His gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise. And that's what happens in that outer court. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. Do you know why Esther was afraid to go before the king? Because the scepter needed to be extended, didn't it? If an earthly king deserves that kind of respect, how much more does our Heavenly Father? We should take a little time and come before Him. You guys can come to the instruments. We should take a little time and come before Him. I want to challenge all of us to be thankful and to give God praise every day of our lives. I don't know, add another 5 minutes to your morning. If you get up at 7, get up at 6:55. Whatever. But I want to challenge you. It will affect the studies I've been reading. It will affect your health, your mind, your emotions, and everything to be thankful and be grateful. That would start with God and do it with each other. Do it with your spouse. Maybe, how about instead of instructing your children all the time, maybe hand off some thanks to them. Thank you for helping me, my daughter. Thank you for doing this for me. Not this level of expectation because you sit in Archie Bunker's recliner. What would it do to our children if we gave them some thanks? What would it do to other people in our lives? Starting with God. Let's stand to our feet. Starting with God, I want you to make a concerted effort starting in the morning to give God thanks and to give Him praise. I'm not a legalist. You know, some of you, we've tried to encourage you to pray over your spouse every day. My wife and I are not religious about that. I don't get over my wife and say, "Thou wonderful spouse, whomest the Lord gave us to meeth, and thou almightiest goddess, who looks over us this morning when we're tired and weary and haven't had a cup of coffee." That don't happen at my house. "Lord, Amy's your daughter, and you gave her to me as my wife. Be with her today. Strengthen her. Help her to be a light. And may your will be done in her life today." Amen. Really that simple. And then Amy, watch over Matt. He gets in all kinds of jams. Whatever she prays. Same thing with this. I'm not asking you even to get on your knees. I do it in the shower a lot of times. I just give thanks to God the whole time I'm in the shower. I just want to start my day that way, praising. I don't want to ask Him for nothing. I don't want to worry about nothing. We're supposed to be doing that no matter what. Just give Him thanks. Push the devil back first thing. Because he wants you to be discouraged. He wants you to be defeated. He wants you to be a complainer. He wants you to be beat down. And live today full of joy of the Lord, because that's all any of us have the promise of anyway. It's today. Let's bow our heads. If you're here this morning and you're not right with God, we want to invite you to slip out of your seat and come to this altar. And don't be ashamed or afraid or timid about that. We've all had to walk that aisle to give our lives to Jesus. This is a family here, and we will welcome you in. Maybe you're here this morning and you are beat down, you're discouraged, and you want to start this morning just simply coming to this altar and not asking for a thing, but just giving God thanks for all He's done in your life. Just drive a stake in the ground this morning. Set a memorial in the spiritual realm like we see Israel do, and say, "You know what? Today's the day. I'm going to start giving thanks. I'm going to quit complaining. My family don't like it no how. And I'm just going to start praying. I'm going to start giving thanks and praise. And I'm going to realize how blessed of a man or a woman I really am. And I'm going to give God thanks for that." Maybe you're here, you're sick and afflicted. Whatever your need is, we got the oil here. We'll lay hands on you, pray over you, like the Bible tells us to do. As we worship, this altar's open.